The first reading is from the Old Testament, Psalm 85. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. Selah. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, and to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. And faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps. The New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his them. When you pray, say, Father, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything out of friendship, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give it a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give it a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Before I begin, I was having dinner with some members of the church last night, and somehow it got around to they time my sermons, and which is good. I don't mind that. I aim for 10 to 12 minutes. I am not one of these that's going to go on for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, because by then I would be asleep. But I just wanted to warn you, today's might be a little longer, but it's only because my joke is so long. The top executives of the Budweiser Beer Company decided they needed a fresh new marketing initiative. And so one suggested that maybe they should ally themselves with the Catholic Church, since that was already a well-known global brand just like themselves. They thought they would be a suitable sponsorship partner. So they send two of their best salespeople to Rome. And they are granted an audience with the Pope. And please understand, this is a mythological Pope. Okay, I will say nothing against him, same way I did Pope Francis. So they get an audience with this mythological pope. And they explain that they want a commercial link-up with the Vatican. Now, this would, of course, involve some very careful product placement. And what they suggest is that the words in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," be replaced by "Give us this day our daily bud." Well, the Pope is appalled. He says, "This is sacred, infallible scripture. We can't possibly change the words around like that." And the executives realize it's a big thing to ask, and they reassure the pontiff that Budweiser will pay handsomely to the tune of $50 million. "Out of the question," the Pope protests. "These are the words of our Lord himself. If we change them, it would be blasphemy." So the offers continue to go up. And after an hour of wrangling, the Pope is beginning to show signs of relenting. And the Budweiser offer is now $1 billion. And the Pope is thinking of how nice it would be to use that amount of money to feed those that were hungry and house those that were homeless. "Look," he says, "I will need to discuss this with my Secretary of State. Please excuse us." And he takes the cardinal to one side and he whispers, "Luigi, remind me, when does the Wonder Bread contract run out?" I never promised it would be good. Growing up in a very active Presbyterian church in Louisville, Kentucky, I never actually memorized the Apostles' Creed or the Gloria Patri or the Doxology or the Lord's Prayer. They were repeated or sung every week in worship, and my family was always there in the fourth pew from the back on the left side every week. So instead of memorizing them, I just kind of absorbed them until they became a part of me. Well, the Gospel of Luke tells us that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Now, we don't know what kind of a place it was. Maybe he chose the quietness of a garden or a grove, or maybe he was walking by the sea, or he was in a meadow or on a mountain, just a certain place. He could have been alone, or had some disciples with him, or friends, or praying with a group of people. But when he had completed this spiritual activity, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now that's a pretty basic element in developing and nurturing one's spiritual growth and well-being. Now maybe this disciple was unsure of himself, uncertain of how he should shape his prayer. Or maybe he was simply curious as to what Jesus thought was a more proper way to pray. So Jesus wanted them to pray because he wanted the prayers of his disciples to draw them closer to God, to be aligned with the will of God. The same things he wants for us today. So Jesus said to the disciples, "When you pray, say, 'Father,' or 'Our Father in heaven.'" And over time, the prayer evolved into the version that is the most often used today, which is, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Well, regardless of the exact wording, the teaching is clear. Prayer creates a personal connection to God, to the God who is as close to us as a loving parent. But this parent is not trapped in the world that we live in, as our earthly parents are. God is our parent in heaven. God rules eternally from an infinite spiritual kingdom, compassionately caring for those of us who live in this finite world. And the first words of the prayer capture perfectly how God is both with us and beyond us. Our Father, that's God right there, as close as a loving parent. In heaven, that's God out there. That's God's infinite, almighty, divine majesty. And both, and in prayer we connect with the God who is both with us on earth and beyond us. And Jesus completed this first line by saying, "May your name be revered as holy." In the tradition of the church, we tend to say, "Hallowed be thy name," or "Hallowed be thy name." And the word hallowed, it's an old-fashioned word, and it's led to some confusion over the years. I mean, some children have misunderstood the prayer and started calling God Art or Howard. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So whether you say revered as holy or hallowed, the meaning is the same. Jesus wants God's name to be held in the deepest respect. To revere God's name is to treasure the essence of who God is. To hallow the divine name is to honor and love who God is. And when we say these words, we are saying that we want God's holiness in our lives. And that's a big ask. And it's one that we need to be making today. So often, we get caught up in our own wants. Success, safety, wealth, health, love. And we often use prayer to ask for these things. But maybe the Lord's Prayer gives us an opportunity to think more about what God wants and less about ourselves. Perhaps it is a prayer of unwanting. I mean, when we say, "Father, may your name be revered as holy," we are focusing more on God than on ourselves. We are asking not for earthly health or wealth or success, but for heavenly holiness. So in this line of the prayer, Jesus is inviting us to let go of our earthly anxieties and instead gaze and experience God's holiness. And the next line of the prayer continues this God-centered orientation. "May your kingdom come," said Jesus. And some ancient versions have added the "your will be done on earth as in heaven." When we say these words, we are asking for God's powerful reign to come to earth. And we are pleading for God's will, not our will, to be done. And Jesus brought this prayer to life on the night before his crucifixion when he prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." A couple of decades ago, when I started thinking about how long this had been, it really kind of upset me a little bit. It's really been a couple of decades now. This tiny little book, bestseller, The Prayer of Jabez, Breaking Through to the Blessed Life. Any of you remember that book? A couple of you. It promoted the idea that the prayer of the biblical character Jabez can release God's favor and power and protection for all of us just by praying this prayer. Well, the Lord's Prayer does the exact opposite, as it aligns us with God's will instead of our own will. And Jesus knows that true happiness and peace come from a focus on God instead of on ourselves. God's kingdom. God's kingdom come. God's will be done. However, Jesus does not say that we should never ask God for what we need in life. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial, or do not bring us into temptation. Daily bread, forgiveness of sin, and avoidance of trials and temptations, those are all very legitimate needs. And God wants to give us what we need. And the challenge for us is to understand the difference between our needs and our wants, and to accept that God will give us what we need, not necessarily what we want. And that's why the Lord's Prayer can be of unwanting. And in our gospel lesson today, Jesus continues by telling a sometimes confusing story about a midnight request for bread to illustrate how we should ask for what we need. A man needs 3 loaves of bread to entertain a guest, and so he goes to his friend's house and he knocks and he makes the request. And the man who has the bread says, "Do not bother me, the door's already locked." And even though he will not right at that moment get up and give his friend what he needs, at least because of his persistence, he will eventually get up and give his neighbor whatever he needs. And so the message is to pray with persistence. Then Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you." And the good news is that God will respond to our asking, our searching, and our knocking. God is not unwilling to give us what we need. And how do we know this? It's pretty simple, said Jesus. "Is there anyone among you who, if your child asked for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Of course not. Or if the child asked for an egg, would give a scorpion? Not going to happen. If you then," and here he says in this translation, "you then who are evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" God's responses to our prayers will be the responses of a parent to a child. And to make this point even stronger, Jesus said that not even a bad parent would give a hungry child a snake or a scorpion. And since God is the exact opposite of an evil parent, we can trust that our prayers will be answered and our needs will be met. Now, that doesn't mean that our answers are going to be what we really want. And sometimes they will result in a mystery, that there is no rhyme or reason, and it's just something we have to take on faith. But know that God does want us to be happy in spite of whatever may happen. God wants to reduce our stress. God wants to fill our lives with meaning. God wants us to connect with God through prayer. So Jesus taught us an example of unwanting in order to make that connection spiritually strong and significant. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.